Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Top Democrats holding an annual meeting in Denver, taking a cue from the line that helped Bill Clinton win the White House, and their new slogan might read, "It's the American dream, stupid." The Democrats have unveiled a plan they say is aimed at convincing the nation the American dream is not dead. They say their American Dream initiative will reverse a dozen years of Republican economic policies and prove the nation can work for everyone, not just the privileged. Their proposals include steps to cut federal spending and make college and health care more affordable. The Democrats meeting in Denver say the Republicans have failed to provide the nation with economic security. Republicans say the economy has been growing in the last 3 years. White House spokesman Tony Snow apologizing today for some remarks last week after George Bush vetoed that legislation to expand federally financed research on stem cells. At the time, Snow said Bush believed that some stem cell research amounted to murder. Snow now says today he overstated Bush's position. Snow telling reporters today Bush would not use the term murder, but Snow said Bush is opposed to expanded use of federal funds for such research because it involves, quote, a destruction of human life. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice in Israel after a five-hour trip to Beirut. She met with Israel's foreign minister shortly after Rice left Beirut. George Bush ordered helicopters and ships into Lebanon to provide humanitarian aid. Secretary Rice will also meet with Arab officials in Italy later this week. It appears, though, that Secretary Rice was not able to see eye to eye with either of the top Lebanese officials she met with during her visit to Beirut. She spoke with the prime minister and the speaker of Lebanon's parliament, Nabi Berri, who is an ally of Hezbollah's leader. An official close to the parliament speaker says Nabi Berri reported the talks failed because Rice insisted on, quote, one full package to end the fighting. That plan, the official says, included a ceasefire that would come along with the deployment of Lebanon's army and an international force in South Lebanon and the removal of Hezbollah weapons from a buffer zone. Nabi Berri wants a ceasefire first. The White House insists other conditions must accompany a ceasefire. The Lebanese prime minister's office says he told Rice Israel's bombardment was taking Lebanon backward 50 years, and he wants a ceasefire. This is Air America Radio News.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Well, what do we got? Tony Snow blames everything on Hezbollah. Condoleezza Valdez sleeps through the Mideast, and Bush wants to meet the American idols. Okay, that's Weekend in a Nutshell. Can I go home now, go back to bed? Bye.
Hello.
Oh, and the project for the new American century, that little nest of neocon killers, had the Lebanon invasion mapped out, gosh, a lifetime ago, all the way back in 2001. We have some sound for you tonight. We have Condoleezza Valdez and Foxy the Snowman doing their Dance of Death in various versions, and lots of your comments tonight. I'm doing lots of comments here lately because I think it's important that your take on what is happening now in the entire Middle East, that this was so predicted, that your comments about what is happening in the entire Middle East from Lebanon all the way around to Iraq and further on to Iran and Afghanistan, I think your comments are a hell of a lot more important, your take, your observation, than what I have to say. And besides, I'm running out of cliches. I'm running out of points of view about this stuff. I really am. The phone number here is 866-303-2270. So you're welcome to jump in here at any point. Now, just try to imagine this. Violence in the Middle East is continuing to escalate. It's getting worse and worse. Iraq has descended into a ghoulish civil war with more than 6,000 Israeli civilians killed in the past 60 days. North Korea recently launched 7 missiles into the Sea of Japan. Some of them, you know, hit North Korea, but they did launch them. Iran is aggressively developing its nuclear program. Afghanistan is approaching anarchy. And Al-Qaeda has not only regrouped, but according to military sources, is, quote, on the march, end quote. So, all of that taken together sounds like the perfect time for Bush to host the cast of American Idol at the White House this Friday, right? Well, sure. According to thinkprogress.org, Bush will come face-to-face with one man who has his voting record beat, and that would be Taylor Hicks. Bush plans to... Jesus, God, get together with Taylor Hicks and the other top 10 finalists this coming Friday in the Oval Office. It will be the first time contestants from that hit television show have been invited to meet the president. And immediately after that, that's the kickoff event for Bush's trip to Crawford, Texas, where possibly a rattlesnake will get him. Yes.
American Idol. You got blacks there, too?
Oh, yeah. It's just too weird for words. It's probably a good thing Hunter Thompson is gone. I remember, four weeks ago, when it was announced that Saddam Hussein was entering into a hunger strike. You know, I don't care a lot about Saddam Hussein. I believe in the John Donne approach to no man is an island, each man's death diminishes me, that sort of thing. But anyway, when he started his hunger strike in protest of what he is going through, the right-wing nutballs in this country went crazy, right? Remember? Saddam Hussein hunger strike! That it was, it's a joke, it was a fake, and so on and so forth. I don't think somebody as murderous as Saddam Hussein fakes. You know, I think what he does is, what he has done in the course of his rule of Iraq has been diabolical, just as diabolical as the efforts of Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney and Henry Kissinger to put him in power and keep him in power back during the late 70s and all through the 80s. So, you know, it's like a a cohort of demons, these people, and Saddam dances with them. But Saddam now is on, he was sent to the hospital Sunday. He's in the 17th day of this hunger strike. This is according to the chief prosecutor in Saddam's trial for crimes against humanity. Jafar al-Musawi, no, not the same Musawi, said he visited the prison on Sunday where Saddam and the seven other co-defendants were being held and was told that the ex-president's health, quote, is unstable because of the hunger strike, close quote. Al-Musawi told the Associated Press, we took him to hospital and he's being currently fed by a tube. These people, these defendants, Saddam and the other 10, I believe, started their hunger strike after one of their defense lawyers was abducted and shot dead in Baghdad. And this was about, I think there's a second or third defense lawyer who's been murdered. A lot of people say, well, it's the Shia doing that because Saddam was so tough. I guess that's a possibility. I think it's one of the death squads set up by John Negroponte. But anyway, the gang of defendants led by Saddam said they wouldn't eat until the defense team was given international protection. It's insane to be trying this killer in Iraq anyway. If we are intent on putting him on trial for war crimes, he should be moved to The Hague, where these sorts of trials are conducted, right? Of course. But this is not about trying him for war crimes. This is a show trial that the United States is engineering, kind of like the Soviet show trials in the 50s. It has nothing to do with justice and everything to do with illusion and politics and deceit. Prosecutors have called for death sentences for Saddam and some of his others. Okay, why not let him starve then? Go ahead. Huh? Oh, well. So anyway, to all the right-wingers, and I don't know, but I understand some liberals also who command the microphone at various times during the day around the country, also said it was jive turkey nonsense. Well, maybe not, huh? Not that anyone cares dramatically, do you? I don't know. Do, other than in the John Dunnish kind of way, right? You know, send not for whom the bell tolls sort of thing. It's getting harder and harder to keep everything straight. Our good friend, and isn't he cute? I think Ralph Reed and the current king of Jordan were separated at birth, or if not separated at birth, I think they're cousins. They're both very cute. King Abdullah, is it Abdullah? Of Jordan, who had inherited, of course, the kingdom because he is of the Hashemite clan. And when his father died, obviously he was to be the next in line. But And I think if the current king were to lose maybe 40 pounds, he and Ralph Reed would probably look like they were cut from the same horrific mold. But security agents, according to the Associated Press, security agents in Jordan, our good ally, are torturing terrorism suspects on behalf of the United States. This is according to Amnesty International in a report that came out today. The report said its investigators had identified about 10 cases of men subjected to rendition from U.S. custody to interrogation centers in Jordan. Malcolm Smart, director of Amnesty's Middle East and North Africa unit and an author of the report, said, quote, Jordan appears to be a central hub in a global complex of secret detention centers operated by the U.S. in coordination with foreign intelligence agencies, unquote. Did you ever think you would see that kind of a sentence? Huh? That contained the phrases, a complex of secret detention centers operated by the U.S. where torture is performed. Wow. It's hard to make this stuff matter anymore, right? I would have thought, when this was all exposed months ago, that the American public would have had a convulsion, just a major convulsion across the fruited plain from sea to shining sea. And what happened? A few liberal blogs screamed about it. You hear it a little bit on this program, that program, a few other, no. And everybody goes back to sleep. Sick of the taste. It's always gonna be a delicacy.
So lick your chops. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air.
Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL Ultra has an 8-year guarantee. The reason my warranties are so much stronger is that my American-made vacuums are so much stronger. Orrick XLs clean thousands of hotel rooms every day. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. You'll still be breaking in an Orrick while other vacuums are broken down.
Small towns are known for their quiet lifestyle, their hospitality.
We don't get many of anybody around here.
He must be the new sheriff, Jack Carter.
And their secrets.
You will be charged with treason if you tell anyone what you see here.
But in the town of Eureka, the secrets are top secret.
Where are you taking me? Area 51?
Time is unraveling. The laws of physics are breaking down.
Love small towns.
A Sci-Fi Channel original series, Eureka, all new tomorrow at 9, 8 Central.
Bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Did I say 6,000 Israeli citizens killed in the past 60 days? Larry emails in and said, I did. He says, I think you meant Iraqi citizens. Yes, I meant to say Iraqis. Oh, my God. I apologize for that. Jordan accused of torturing suspects for the U.S. I can't get past that headache, that headline. It was in the Toronto Star, Toronto, Ontario. And it's the torture is horrific. The fact that we are now a nation that condones and encourages and uses torture. But what is not worse, but what is tangentially evil to that is the fact that in an 87-page report 6 months ago with the UN committee, the United States insisted it is, quote, unequivocally opposed, close quote, to torture, and that its commitment to the ban on torture, quote, remains unchanged, close quote. That report also said Bush, quote, has made clear that the United States stands against and will not tolerate torture under any circumstances, close quote. What do you call that? Filthy lying. But it rocks along. Just rocks along. The lying. In India, I think it's Indian Times, a writer, Atul Sethi, says, the headline is, Can We Do in Israel? He says, almost 2 weeks back, two terror attacks took place. The first were the blasts in Mumbai, and the second, the capture of two Israeli soldiers by Lebanese militant group Hezbollah. Both were acts of aggression against specific countries. But that's where the similarity ended. While India reacted to the Mumbai blast with tough talk but little action, Israel bombed Beirut for supporting cross-border terrorism. Notice that Israel's provocation was that two of its soldiers had been captured, while in Mumbai, scores of innocent civilians had been killed. So, does India need to get tough, too? It goes on. But the tough they're talking about, of course, is against Pakistan, right? Can I go home now? Is it time to go home, Kathy? Oh, my God. I don't know. I just don't want to look at this stuff. And I just think, no, I can't. This title, Wild Dogs Are Devouring the Victims of Israel's Bombing Raids. Packs of dogs are wandering through Beirut and southern Lebanon eating dead humans. This was, I found this one kind of interesting, too. This is from Associated Press, I believe. The White House on Monday sought to discourage Pakistan from expanding its nuclear weapons program after a published report that it was building a powerful new reactor that could generate plutonium for 40 to 50 nuclear bombs a year. The Washington Post, in a story in Monday's editions, cited independent analysts as saying that Pakistan has started working on such a reactor. White House spokesman Tony Snow, in reaction to the story, said,
We've been aware of these plans, and we discourage any use of that facility for military purposes, such as weapons development.
At the same time, he noted that Pakistan has not signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty.
And therefore, they do develop their capabilities independently.
Asked whether the United States has sought assurances from Pakistan that it wouldn't use the new reactor to produce plutonium for use in nuclear weapons, Tony Snow said,
Well, not that I'm aware of.
Wait a minute. Wait, Iran, let's see, what's the difference between Iran and Pakistan? Well, religiously speaking, they're the same. Their government's a little bit different. Iran elected its government. Pakistan had a military dictator, Musharraf, take over and ended their democracy. They're both predominantly Muslim. What else? That's right. Pakistan is going to produce 40 to 50 nuclear bombs a year, and Tony Snow says,
Well, I don't know too much about it.
Iran is building nuclear facilities to produce energy, so they say, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and we're ready to kill 90 million Iranians. Well, what? I mean, what? I don't quite get this.
Pakistan. They got blacks there, too.
It's incredible. U.S. tries to discourage Pakistan on nukes. Now, of course, Pakistan has no choice, because when Chucklenuts went to India, remember what he did? When Chucklenuts was in India a couple of months ago, he gave all the secret nuclear codes or something to the Indians. And he said, the Indians, you want to build some bombs? Go ahead, build some bombs. Here, we got, somebody gave me this to gift you. I don't know what it says, because I'm dumber than rat droppings, but here, let's help you build some bombs. Wow. We'll be back after this break, maybe. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Apicor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Apicor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Apicor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avicor works. And Avicor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avicor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avicor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
What's more important to you, a better-looking vacuum or a cleaner, healthier home? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL may not win any beauty contests, but it wins rave reviews from owners of those dust-spewing bagless clunkers. Once they try an Orrick XL, they love it. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200 and take a risk-free trial of the vacuum that won't send a cloud of dust in your face.
But I'm committed to reducing the amount of nuclear weaponry.
Yeah, okay. It's 26 before the hour. Let's take some of these phone calls, please. Let's start with Mike, who's calling you from Newcastle, PA. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Great. I've probably wanted to talk to you for a few years. I had never called in at one time before. About the Israeli-United States policy in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple thoughts, I guess. Leaving out the Saudi Arabian element for now. I mean, Greg Palast does a good job in addressing some of that geopolitics. I heard you talking about the Christian Zionists the other day, and we hear people bringing up the Z word. But I like to leave that alone and just suggest, you know, people look back and they're very confused about why U.S. and Israeli relations are like they are. USS Liberty would probably be the shining example of the confusion as to why there's such support, you know, mutually between these two. And I don't find it as much of a mystery. I don't claim to know a lot, but I do know that in looking at how governments are financed, you know, whether it's the leveraging of debt, manipulation of discount rates, interest rates, basically the valuation of currency, has a lot of leverage in terms of what makes up a nation. So if you're a war profiteer, a neocon, mm-hmm. right, and you're trying to make money, you need government contracts. The government needs to get that money from somewhere. Well, we know how negative we are and mm-hmm. how leveraged we are, and the private bankers that, you know, whatever they are. They could be Eskimo for all I care, but certain private bankers in terms of European, in terms
okay,
of United
let me,
States
let,
policy.
Let me stop you.
Go
it
ahead.
Sounds to me that what you're describing is an effect, not a cause.
Mm-hmm.
I do not subscribe to the idea, and I may be wrong. I don't subscribe to an idea that wars are started in order to satisfy international bankers or money manipulators
okay.
or hedge fund operators. I think wars are started because people are essentially crazy and insane. And,
wait,
and
now,
I know,
let me challenge you on that. I don't think you believe that totally, because I think we actually agree that we hate war. We hate it no matter what form,
right.
bombing anybody. And most populations, I think we would agree, don't really want to engage in, I mean, especially against the United States. I don't know too many people who wake up during a day going, boy, I'd love to be in a war with the United States
right.
today.
Right.
You know, but you can always fund any type of group, terrorist or otherwise, that could build up hostilities. I mean, we've seen that happen before.
Right, right. I
understand.
I know what you're saying, and we're limiting our
calls
now.
I'm putting you in a corner by trying. I'm throwing so much at you.
Okay, hold on
yeah.
just a second. No, you know, you're not throwing a lot. But we're limiting our calls to about 3 minutes here, and we're
right.
just about out of time on this one. Now,
let me just say I appreciate your work.
Okay.
And I you make me laugh and you make me cry every time I listen to you.
All right.
Because
well,
of how passionate you feel about, you know,
right.
peace
well,
and everything. Go ahead. I'm
well,
sorry.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. The PNAC, Project for New American Century, the neocons, they've wanted wars, endless wars in the Middle East for a long time. And I think that has to do with the fact that they're insane and the fact that they believe in American empire, and they also believe that as a side benefit to American empire would be the utter security of Israel. But as far as the profitability of war, sure, there are war profiteers. Oh, absolutely. The defense industry, so-called in this country, it's really the murder industry in this country. We're not defending anything anymore. We have enough nuclear weapons that nobody's going, like Mike said, nobody's going to take on the United States anyway. So it's a murder industry, a legitimized murder industry. The largest exporter of death on the planet is the United States, and I think we're followed by Russia. But that murder industry makes a lot of money without a war. They just keep selling stuff. As far as all this being driven by financiers, though, I can't. I know that's popular theory. A lot of it has entangled in it some kind of nasty anti-Semitism that's been around for. I think, as a matter of fact, Hitler used that to justify his war, because he was utterly convinced and told everybody that it was the Jews who manipulated the world into World War I, which, you know, decimated Germany. But as far as international financiers making money, there are too many other ways to make money. You don't, destruction ultimately does not make – it doesn't. I mean, it generates – sure, there's Halliburton makes a lot of money. Dick Cheney makes money on death and destruction. And the murder industry makes money on death and destruction. And I realize that probably the largest exporting industry in the United States is death and destruction, the murder industry, weaponry. But I can't accept that that is the driving force behind what we're doing in the Middle East, what we've done in Central America. I think it's part ideological and part this driving political greed, this empire thing, and it's driven by madmen. I truly believe these people are insane. I don't care if they're in the British government or the American government or the Israeli government or the Iranian government. You know, I don't care. I don't give a tinker's damn where these people exist. If they are involved in destruction for destruction's sake. And show me one of the hot wars going on right now that is not destruction for destruction's sake. It's not to reconstruct or construct anything. What, Iraq? Oh, give me a break. The attack on Lebanon, the constant shelling and murder of people in the occupied territory? Oh, stop. None of this has to do with the greater good or, you know... our God is telling us to do these things because he loves us. You know, this is all nonsense. These are madmen. These are utter madmen who are in positions of power in these countries that are driving this. The most notable right now are the United States, Great Britain, and Israel. Now, if somebody wants to argue that, go ahead. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I am not a fool. I may be not properly educated and not properly versed in international relations, but I will guarantee to you that I can see the workings of insane people when I'm exposed to those workings, and that's what I see. That's what I see. Speaking of Condoleezza Valdez, she is with was with the Israeli foreign minister, Zippy Livni. Is that how you pronounce his name, Kathy? After their meeting in Jerusalem, which followed her surprise visit to Beirut over the weekend. Don't you love the way American authorities drop in on these war zones that we essentially have created, either passively or actively? Yeah, just drop in. Condoleezza took a little time off from shoe shopping in Paris. Hey, I think I'll go to Beirut. Nice city. Paris of the East. Great place to vacate. What? There's a war? Oh, well, I'll just... Yeah. And there she is. You see the pictures of her? And what was this picture? Craig in Boone, North Carolina, says he saw a still on CNN, and I couldn't find it, of Condoleezza in talking to Lebanese officials. And the two people in the photograph are this political hack from Texas, Karen Hughes, remember her, and the convicted Iran-Contra felon and mass murderer from Central America infamy, Elliot Abrams. What the hell are they doing there? Elliot Abrams? You know why Elliot Abrams is there, don't you? Anyway, in Jerusalem... blathering some nonsense about how difficult, listen how many times she says the word difficult, the situation is between Israel and Lebanon. No, Condi, it's not difficult at all. It's, matter of fact, pretty simple. She repeated the word so often I thought she was channeling chuckle nuts. But then she gushed about the need for sustainable ceasefire based on enduring principles. Sounded like she was talking about one of Bush's cornfields or some oldies album.
We will have a discussion tonight of the difficult circumstances, the difficult conditions here in the Middle East. This is a difficult time for, of course, the Israeli people who face daily threats. It is a difficult time for the people of Lebanon, and it's a difficult time for the Palestinian people. If we have learned anything, it is that any peace is going to have to be based on enduring principles and not on temporary solutions. We will talk about how to get to an enduring cessation of violence, how to deal with the significant humanitarian problems that are currently facing the people of Lebanon. Ultimately, a Middle East that is peaceful and democratic will be a Middle East in which peace is sustainable.
Oh, shut up! God, the woman just, I'd rather sit there and watch paint dry than listen to that dry, dull, Cold War nonsensical rhetoric. Okay, Miss Rice, if we have learned anything, you say, it is that any peace is going to have to be based on enduring principles. Okay, what are you and your corrupt, filthy administration doing to promote those enduring principles? What have you and the Bush crime family done in 5 years, Condi, to promote peace in the Middle East? What have you done other than utterly destabilize the entire region? Oh, my God, these people get me angry. Can I go home now, Kathy? Really, I just want to go home, get in bed, pull the covers over my head, and suck my thumb.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Small towns are known for their quiet lifestyle, their hospitality.
I don't get many of anybody around here.
You must be the new sheriff, Jack Carter.
And their secrets.
You will be charged with treason if you tell anyone what you see here.
But in the town of Eureka, the secrets are top secret.
Where are you taking me? Area 51?
Time is unraveling. The laws of physics are breaking down.
Love small towns.
A Sci-Fi Channel original series, Eureka, all new tomorrow at 9, 8 Central.
We'll be right back.
role of the National Security Advisor to help unstick things that may get stuck. That's the best way to put it. He's an unsticker.
Oh, God, kill me now. She's an unsticker?
You know, sticky rice.
Sticky rice. Back to your phone calls. Ken is calling from Thousand Oaks, California. Ken, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm a passionate believer in the state of Israel, and I think its best long-term chance for survival is to divorce itself from the United States, to live in its neighborhood, to grant the Palestinian state, and simultaneously to declare that any time a terrorist crosses the border or something lands in Israel, there's a bunker under the Negev desert, which has a box with buttons marked Riyadh and Damascus and Tehran, and any time their sovereignty is violated, after they grant a Palestinian state, an Arab capital is going to be destroyed. I know.
Well, let me ask you. Hitler had the idea that when the partisans who tried to stop his Wehrmacht, whether those partisans were in Italy or Poland,
Yugoslavia,
or wherever they were, when the partisans would kill a couple of SS, then they would drag out 50 or 100 or 200 civilians and murder them. Are you saying, am I hearing you right, that you would wipe out millions of people who are innocent of anything because a terrorist crossed the border into Israel? Are you serious?
In 1938...
No, just answer it for me, because I'm trying to get my mind around that. Is that what you're saying?
It wouldn't happen because the
No, wait. You're really backpedaling and qualifying, and I just want to know, all I'm trying to find out here, Ken, are you saying what I think I heard you say? If you're not, then clarify it, but don't go to 1938. Stay right here.
I will clarify it. The Arabs, whether they're Sunni, Wahhabi, Shia, whatever, if they know what they will suffer as a result of allowing these people to operate from their territory,
are you saying that Lebanon allows Hezbollah?
Absolutely.
How are they to stop Hezbollah?
Well, Hezbollah is a part of their infrastructure.
No. How are the, no? There were free elections held in Lebanon at the insistence of the United States and Israel, and Hezbollah gained some seats in the Lebanese parliament. How is Lebanon responsible for Hezbollah?
They allow it to happen on their territory.
Well, allow what? Allow what? Everybody's been screaming about democracy in the Middle East. They have democracy. Hezbollah gets elected. So what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Obviously, what you want to do is blow Israel into a big hole. I mean, blow Lebanon into a big hole.
Democracy is a fallacy. It's the United States.
Ah, democracy is a fallacy. Why didn't you start with that?
Well,
okay, what you're talking about is militarized dictatorship. By God, if somebody doesn't like the way I'm running Israel or United States or Russia or China, and if one of those people rises up and kills somebody in my country and I find out they have relatives in, pick a country, Serbia, then I will nuke Serbia! You're insane.
Well, in 19, you said not to go back to 1938.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you something. Did the United States allow Timothy McVeigh to blow up the federal building in Oklahoma City?
Yes, I believe they did.
Oh, Jesus.
Because
goodbye, Ken. Goodbye. Thank you, Ken. I appreciate it. Goodbye. Was the governor of Colorado responsible for the Columbine tragedy? This simplistic bat squeeze that some of you people come up with. Oh, my God. Okay. If that's true, Ken, why didn't we turn Saudi Arabia into glass on September 12th, 2001? The official story is 9 of the bombers came from some Saudi Arabia. Oh, that's right. We attacked Afghanistan. That's insanity, Ken. I mean, somebody shows up on your front yard, and he's from Chicago, and he kills your family. How horrible is that? So what do? Nuke Chicago? Jesus Christ, what is wrong? Is everybody going mad in this country? Is everyone going insane? You start out by saying you're a supporter of the State of Israel, and then you advocate mass murder of innocents? Well, okay, I maybe that makes sense to you. I don't know. I have no idea anymore. You don't start talking about democracy anywhere unless you're willing to accept what comes with it, which very few populations are. Democracy in Palestine? Oh, okay, let's have elections in the occupied territories. Let's send Jimmy Carter. Let's send all these international observers. How did it go? Everything it went fine? Okay, good. Now let's count the bones. Oops! Hamas? How did that happen? Okay, let's have democracy in Israel. Broom, broom, broom. Everybody, okay, let's count the bones. Oops! Likud? Oh, my God! No, I got a better idea. Let's just blow them all up, right? Isn't that right, Ken? Huh? Just kill them all. Let God sort them out, right? Tony Snow on Condoleezza Rice's Sticky Diplomacy when we come back. And if you're on hold, stick around. I'm in a mental asylum. That's what this program is turning into. So many nights. A mental asylum. Can I go home yet, Kathy? We'll be back after the break. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
"Let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it."
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki scheduled for talks in Washington with George Bush, but his absence from Baghdad is not sitting well with some followers of radical Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. A statement from al-Sadr's supporters label al-Maliki's U.S. trip as a vague and empty sign citing the deteriorating security in Baghdad. And he calls on the prime minister to cut his visit short and avoid signing any agreement to extend the presence of coalition forces in Iraq. Al-Sadr's followers hold 30 of the 275 seats in parliament and control 5 cabinet ministries, including health, transportation, and agriculture. The White House making clear it is not calling for an immediate ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah. Speaking in Israel today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said any peace in the region has to be sustainable. The way to do that, she says, is to have a Mideast that is peaceful and democratic. Rice spoke before heading for a meeting with the foreign minister. Among other things, Israel wants the 2 soldiers Hezbollah captured to be returned. It also wants the militant group dismantled and the Lebanese army deployed along the border between Lebanon and Israel. In Lebanon earlier today, Condi Rice heard appeals for an immediate ceasefire from top Lebanese officials, but the idea was rejected. UN Chief Kofi Annan says the nations gathering in Rome this week to seek an end to the Mideast violence cannot afford to leave empty-handed. He says they need to find a concrete strategy for ensuring lasting peace in the Middle East. The Palestinian prime minister urging Washington to pressure Israel to halt its offensive in the Gaza Strip. That plea comes as Israel shelled a Gaza town where Palestinian militants fired rockets. Israel's military began the offensive June 28th after Palestinian militants attacked an Israeli outpost near the Gaza border, killing 2 Israeli soldiers and capturing a 3rd. HCA, the nation's largest for-profit hospital operator founded by the family of Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, has announced today a $21 billion private buyout. Investors include Bain Capital, Kohlberg Kravis Roberts, and Merrill Lynch. According to a statement, HCA shareholders would get $51 per share. The transaction total value, $33 billion, includes $11.7 billion in debt. The transaction is supposed to be completed in the 4th quarter of this year. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. There was a White House briefing today. We want you to hear some of this madness from Tony Snow, the Fox News Channel's White House press secretary. Tony Snow today was caught between, I can't say this, Iraq and a hard place, with questions about Israel, Lebanon, and Iraq. Uh-huh. I would imagine he wished he still just answered Rupert Murdoch instead of Dick Drunken Cheney and, a reporter in the White House press briefing, one of the crack White House reporters, asked Foxy the Snowman about this concept of sustainable ceasefire that you heard Condoleezza Rice talking about a second ago. The reporter says, Tony, on Lebanon, there are those calling for an immediate ceasefire. There are those calling for a sustainable ceasefire. And the sustainable ceasefire camp says if you just call for an immediate ceasefire, you'll be back here in 3 weeks or 3 months. Isn't it worth the risk if you stop innocent Israelis and Lebanese from being killed? Isn't it worth taking that risk for an immediate ceasefire while you try to bang out something more sustainable?
The question is whether that's a fool's errand, Jim. The idea that you suspend, number one, there's a notion that somehow both sides are going to suspend, and we remain deeply skeptical that Hezbollah is going to abide by any such agreement. But the more important thing is sustainable really does matter, because as we've seen in some places, if you allow terrorists to proclaim victory and to continue to take root within a country, you actually encourage further misbehavior.
Sounds like he's describing a child, a toddler. If you allow terrorists to proclaim victory, what victory in a ceasefire? And to continue to take root within a country, what take root? Hezbollah's member of the Lebanese parliament, you know, democracy? You actually encourage further No, I'll tell you what, Tony. What you do is nobody kills anybody. You have a region-wide peace conference where everybody approaches the issue on perhaps an equal basis. Isn't that funny? Israel, Lebanon, Hezbollah, the Palestinians, the Iraqis, the Shias, the Sunnis, the Druze. Bring them all in. Let's get some Egyptians in there. Maybe some Syrians, huh? Get everybody together and explain to them that they're killing themselves. They're ruining. They're destroying. Oh, I know. That's very naive. Almost as naive as saying we want to bring democracy to the Middle East, except and until democracy produces members of parliament who are Hezbollah or Hamas or Iraqi religious fundamentalists. Then all of a sudden it's, oh, wait a minute, we didn't mean this kind of democracy. Oh, damn, that's not what we had in mind. No. What they have in mind is no democracy at all. It's a smokescreen. It's a hoax, a sham, and a myth, and we all know it. So how does the whitest white man in Washington explain why the United States might be against an immediate ceasefire? You know, in favor of that sustainable one. In other words, why would we want to see this killing continue, other than the fact that we have become a nation of rabid dogs led by three or four psychopaths? Other than that, why would we want to see the killing and the murder and the blowing to pieces of people in Lebanon continue? Tony Snow winds up by saying, don't go there. But the reporter starts out by saying, I don't think there's any disagreement about the goal. Even the folks calling for an immediate ceasefire want to see something sustainable, Tony. The point is, what do you do in the interim? This risk everyone is talking about, that you could be back there in 3 weeks, more bombing. So what? If they're not peaceful weeks, doesn't that in some way also insulate this administration and the Israelis from criticism, from people saying that the response is disproportionate? Doesn't that improve and strengthen your position to say, hey, we tried it, we called for it, and it didn't happen?
The point is, there's no give on this. The United States believes in a sustainable ceasefire. Secretary Rice is in the region talking about it. She had a very good meeting today with key leaders in Lebanon, and they talked about that. They also talked about humanitarian assistance and a number of other topics. So I think the notion that you have a ceasefire that at this point is unenforceable does not really get us to the point we need to be at. You do not want to give... You simply don't want to go there.
Yeah, let the killing continue, right? Because we have a whole faction here in the United States that is utterly convinced that Jesus won't be happy until the pile of bodies is higher than Mount Ararat, you know? So, yeah. The United States believes in sustainable ceasefire, Tony Snow says. Sustainable ceasefire. We have such a good record of promoting that. We have done so much in the Middle East, haven't we? Especially in the past 6 years. God, we have just tried so hard. You know, after watching those empty moves by Carter and Clinton, didn't mean a thing, did it? Nah. Get those psychos together, the Jews and the Arabs and the Muslims and the Israeli, get them all together. Everybody's shaking hands, talk about peace in the Middle East. Ah, we can't have peace in the Middle East! We want war! We want them all dead! Sons of bitches, kill them all! Especially them Arabs! My God. So what have you done, Tony? Not you, you... Half-wit, you don't even belong where you're at. We know why you're there. But what has the Bush administration done? Truly, what has the Bush administration done in five, almost 6 years in office, where it concerns trying to tamp down or solve, which will never happen, but to bring some kind of an agreement between the two factions that are driving everything in the Middle East, and that's the Israelis and the Palestinians. Well, what have we done? What have we done? Sold Israel more ordnance, made sure that Israel has more weapons of mass destruction, cut off the Palestinians from financial assistance when they did that democracy thing, the dirty little devils, and got some members of Hamas in control, little sons of bitches. They weren't supposed to do that. So what have we done? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Worse than nothing. And now for the Bush crime family to, let me use one of their terms, decry the violence that's occurring in the Middle East is a farce. It's horrifically hypocritical. But I digress. A different reporter has a follow-up question on this bizarre notion of a sustainable ceasefire versus an immediate ceasefire. Where do these people come up with these words? Do they dip their hands into some sewer, into some bottomless pit of hell, and come up with terms like sustainable ceasefire versus immediate ceasefire? Who comes up with this? Condi Rice? Anyway, the reporter says, Tony, to follow up, when so many other world leaders and entities are saying we need a more immediate ceasefire, and the U.S. persists in the view that it must be a sustainable ceasefire, is it not then for people to infer that the U.S. views that crushing Hezbollah is more important than the short-term loss of civilian lives and civilian structures?
What you're posing is a false choice. If you could guarantee for us that Hezbollah somehow would stop rocketing... Then maybe you'd have a point. But Hezbollah started this. You've got to keep in mind, the aggressor in this case is not Israel, it's Hezbollah. Hezbollah crossed over into Israeli territory and kidnapped two soldiers. It has been rocketing Israel, but it has been ratcheting up in recent days. Nasrallah has made it pretty obvious that he considers a war against Israel.
Well, what do you call it when an army masses on your border and your skies are full of bombs and bullets and rock? What the hell do you call it? Nasrallah has made it pretty obvious that he considers this a war with Israel. Oh, no, 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 Tony, it's not a war. This is something else. Hezbollah crossed over into Israeli territory and kidnapped two soldiers. If Israel and Hezbollah considers themselves at war, and they do, both of them do, what's this kidnap? Are we talking about prisoners of war? Are we talking about illegal combatants? What are we talking about? Does Hezbollah wear a uniform? What is this? How many Palestinians, how many Lebanese have been kidnapped by the Israeli Defense Force? Oh, that's right. We're not supposed to talk about that. Never mind. Never mind.
They'll take over the world if we let them. They'd like to take over the world. I'm not kidding.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
global world. And that creates uncertainty in some. I understand that.
We live in a global world. Mm-hmm. From tomorrow's New York Times, this is interesting. I'm sure you probably know that the fake Iraqi Prime Minister al-Maliki is going to be visiting the White House. He's coming to the White House on Tuesday for the first time. And according to the Times, tomorrow he's expected to make requests that, clash sharply with Bush's foreign policy. The requests will include, according to Iraqi officials who will not be identified for fear of being murdered immediately, the requests will include asking Bush to allow American-led troops in Iraq to be tried under Iraqi law. Please, Massa, can we, when your boys come over here and murder and rape and set our people burning so they won't talk anymore, can we try them under our laws, sir? May I kiss your robe? He's also going to ask for a halt to Israeli attacks on Lebanon. Mr. Bush, we know that you maintain Israel. We know that if it weren't for your money and your weaponry, Israel would probably behave itself a little bit more. Can you get him to stop, please, sir? Okay. Oh, and Mr. Maliki and other top Shia leaders in this fake little toy government in Iraq also want to maintain strong ties to Iran. Please, sir, we know you're about to nuke Iran, but we'd like to maintain ties with them because, you see, eventually there's going to be this great Shia empire that stretches from Pakistan to Syria. Oh, never mind. So Mr. Maliki will be coming into town tomorrow. We got to get some sound from that. Kathy, speaking of sound, Roz in Canada sent this to me. Hi, Mike. If you think you're living in a lunatic asylum, you might be stating truth more than fiction. Following is just a part, just a bit of what Tim Russert had to say to Josh Bolton on Meet the Press this weekend. It simply boggles the mind. Here's the quote. Now, we very seldom do these quotes anymore because we can't. On Sundays, we try to take our daughter and go pretend like things are normal. We go to the park and go for a walk, or we take her to a playground so she can slide down slides and look at the other kids and touch the doggies and things, you know. So we've been missing some of Tim Russert. Thanks, Roz. Here's the quote from Russert. Listen to this. But you have free elections in Iraq, and the head of the parliament calls us butchers. You have free elections in Palestine and Hamas wins. You have elections in Lebanon and Hezbollah wins 10 to 12 seats in the parliament and 2 cabinet seats. Free elections are no guarantee of democracy. Oh, Jesus Christ. Thanks, Roz. Free elections are no guarantee of democracy. Yeah, you're right, Russer. Yeah, you're right. Oh, my God. Is there anybody out there still who believes that the Bush crime family or the neocons or the American Zionists or the Israeli Zionists or the Islamic fundamentalists or the Islamists or any of these people really want true democracy? The Islamists don't want it? What are you talking about, democracy? They don't want democracy. In the first place, you had democracy, then what? Everybody gets a vote? What, are you out of your mind? The women get to vote? Not in this lifetime. What Islamist wants democracy? Now, the Israelis, do the Israeli want democracy? Maybe inside the boundaries and borders and behind the walls of Israel, but in the rest of that part of the global neighborhood they have to share? Well, hell no! Look what happens when you have democracy. Hamas, Hezbollah! Well, we got another break? Jesus! Can you stop the breaks? You can't, can you? All right. Yeah, democracy, it's risky business, Truth Seeker. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Can a vacuum make a difference in your life? Ask anybody who owns an 8-pound Orrick XL. They'll tell you there's not an easier or more efficient way to clean your home. And it's sanitary. See for yourself risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. I'll get an Orrick XL to you faster than you can say, why settle for clean when you can have healthy, too?
Small towns are known for their quiet lifestyle, their hospitality.
We don't get many of anybody around here.
He must be the new sheriff, Jack Carter.
And their secrets.
You will be charged with treason if you tell anyone what you see here.
But in the town of Eureka, the secrets are top secret.
Where are you taking me? Area 51?
Time is unraveling. The laws of physics are breaking down.
Love small towns.
A Sci-Fi Channel original series, Eureka, all new tomorrow at 9, 8 Central.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
making the pie higher. It's more of Mike Malloy.
You think she's good enough? 26 before the hour. A couple of emails here during the break. This is from Stan. He sends me something that's linked to rawstory.com, and it's from CNN. The CNN International newscast shows a young boy with his eyes burned shut. The doctor says it is the result of the Israelis using phosphorus in their bombs, the kinds of weapons that are illegal only if Saddam has them in a bunker. This is the same stuff we used in Fallujah, right? So now the Israelis are using it against Palestinian civilians. Incredible. The Israelis are starting to convince me that they are comprised to a large extent the same as, or I should say the Israeli government, comprised to a large extent the same as the American government, comprised of foul, otherworldly demons. This is astonishing. I cannot believe this. Now, I know a lot of you who are very harsh on Israeli foreign policy for the past 50 years and have every reason to be harsher than I have been openly. You probably look at that statement I just made as it's kind of naive. You know, that what do you expect, Mike? That the Israelis will not use white phosphorus against children? Are you out of your mind? Of course they will. They have been doing it. It's an ongoing situation. They had murdering and butchering people in Palestine for 50 years. What's your problem, Mike? I don't know how to answer that, so I won't even try. This is from Sue. I listened to the great drive for democracy and bringing changes to the cultures of other countries while thinking, how could anyone for one moment expect to change an entire culture? How does anyone believe the culture of Afghanistan can be changed? Does that person believe it would be possible to impose the culture and mores of the Bible Belt on New York City? Or the culture of New York City on the Bible Belt? That chance. Yeah, I understand, Sue, but you're being rational. And this is from one of our Canadian listeners. Since when is the proper response to a, quote, kidnapping, close quote, the bombing, invasion, and general destruction of the entire country? The next time there's a kidnapping anywhere in the U.S., are the authorities going to send in the military to bomb every bridge, radio station, power plant, water treatment plant, airport, blockade the harbors, et cetera, till the victim is returned? No, I understand, Mal. But this nonsense about the soldiers being kidnapped, who uses terms like that, soldiers being kidnapped? Who uses that? That comes from a Washington, D.C.-based PR firm that works for both the Bush administration and the government of Omer in Israel. Kidnapping? Soldiers kidnapped? No. Soldiers don't get kidnapped. Soldiers are captured. Soldiers may be captured by a non-state actor. Is that the current term? Is that what Hezbollah or Gaza, Hamas? But you can't call Hezbollah a non-state actor, can you? They were elected. Democracy, you know. Oh, wait a minute. Then that would justify the absolute destruction of Lebanon. The hundreds of thousands of people that are watching their homes being pulverized and their children being butchered. Well, that's because of democracy. It's madness. Back to Tony Snow. So what about this humanitarian aid Condi is talking about with the Lebanese? Reporter says, Tony, on humanitarian supplies, if this administration already knew the severity of the situation when they were evacuating the Americans from the area, why not begin humanitarian supplies then instead of now?
I love the second guessing. The United States is first to the scene, and the question is, why not earlier?
Oh, Christ.
The fact is, we're first to the scene. You have to find out ways in which you safely can transport it. We have been working on developing what they refer to as humanitarian corridors. And I don't want to be second guessing the operational the operational timetable under which people have proceeded here.
So in other words, it's just not going to happen until we're damn good and ready to make it happen. If these Lebanese or the Israelis or the Palestinians are having their eyes burned shut with phosphorus bombs, their children, well, that's, you know, look. You know, we I'm not going to second guess any operational timetable. Let the little sons of bitches die. Let them die. So in other words, it's not going to happen, which might be a good thing since the last shipment of humanitarian aid we dropped, I think it was on Afghanistan, looked exactly like some of the anti-personnel bombs that we had dropped there. So the kids didn't know which one. Do I pick up this one or do I pick up the bang? And then they were dead. The Afghans who were looking for an MRE or some clean water often lost their lives. Remember that? Remember that? Wasn't that fun? That's gone. We don't talk about that anymore. The Bush crime family's idea of humanitarian aid, we'll try to get you some food while Israel bombs the bejesus out of you with the weapons that we provided them, and we're speeding up the aviation fuel that they need to fly their jets to bomb you more. You don't have to be a psychologist to know that's not the way to win the hearts and minds of a population. Slap them with one hand, cut their guts out, murder their children while you throw them a cookie with the other. And in fact, I would imagine an animal trainer will tell you that's the way to make an attack dog go crazy. And that's the way to make anyone go crazy. Here, let me... I'm going to kill your child! Here's a ham sandwich. Oh, I'm sorry, it's ham. Here's a roast beef. Oh, no. Here's a peanut butter sandwich. Jesus, God. Finally tonight, for Tony Snow... A reporter asked about Iraq. Remember Iraq? Hey! Remember Iraq? Yeah! According to Tony Snow, things are fantastic there. That's right. People are enjoying the fruits of democracy. Wow! I must have missed that chapter back with Mission Accomplished and No Greatest with Flowers and Candy and, you know, all that squat. Reporter says, Tony, with Prime Minister Maliki of Iraq coming in tomorrow, what is the president hoping to get out of this visit, given the fact that many are saying that this is a civil war in Iraq? The violence has gotten worse while everyone has been focusing on Israel and Lebanon. There's been a UN report of 100 people dying a day in Iraq, 6,000 in the last 2 months. The number of major attacks in Baghdad up 40% on a weekly basis. Does the administration think that Iraq is in a civil war?
You know, I don't want to. You're talking about in and around Baghdad. You know, I know the Prime Minister has a piece today where he talks about turning Muthana province over, and there are several other provinces that are going to be under Iraqi control, they think, relatively soon. I think there's an attempt, and it's very alluring to politicians here to try to make the situation sound like civil war everywhere.
Yeah.
No, there are parts of Iraq where life is proceeding. But with a fair degree of normalcy, where people are enjoying a greater economic opportunity and they're enjoying the fruits of democracy.
That would be in the northern part, right? The part controlled by the Kurds. The part where the Kurds have made it very clear that if any Iraqi military of any sort comes up there, they will immediately decapitate all of them. Leave us alone, I think, is the Kurdish attitude. This was Kurdistan at one point anyway, until you evil bastards in the West turned it into Iraq and gave part of it to Turkey, who's been harassing us for the past 75 years. So I'll tell you what, yeah, things are calm here in the Kurdish-controlled areas of Iraq, which has nothing to do with your little toy government down in Baghdad, and stay away, because like I said, if you come into the Kurdish-controlled areas, I don't care who you are, we will kill you all. You know why we will kill you? Because we have been struggling for 100 years now, or is it 200? I don't even remember, to try to have some sort of normalcy among us, the Kurds. So stay away. This is the area that Tony Snow says, democracy is happening, and economic opportunity is about the only areas where oil is being pumped. Is the part controlled by the Kurds? There's no insurrection there. Why not? Unbelievable. All right, let's go back to your phone calls very quickly. Bob is calling from Chatsworth, California or Georgia?
California.
California. Bob, welcome to the program.
Yeah, listen, did you hear the story that Syria was sending bombs and chemical weapons to Hezbollah and ambulances and humanitarian trucks?
No, did you hear that on Limbaugh's program, or was that on Fox?
No, I'm just wondering because...
Where did you hear that? Where did you hear that?
I just made it up, and I'll tell you why. Because the same guy that sent you an email about phosphorus bombs...
You made it up.
But how do you know this guy, this email guy, didn't make it up, too? You just...
I saw the picture! There's a picture at CNN's website, for Christ's sake, of a child with his eyes burned shut!
You don't think the... Oh,
goodbye, Bob! Screw you, you inhumane corpse eater! You get off my radio program, you sick bastard! Were you going to argue with a photograph of a child sitting there with phosphorus-burned eyes and the doctor standing there? CNN made it up, you dumb bastard. Get off of my phone. Get off my radio program. Don't you ever call again. How about if it was your kid? Huh, Bob? Do you have kids? How'd you like to have your child's eyes burned shut with white phosphorus? Jesus.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Who's there?
Opportunity.
Opportunity who?
Opportunity knocking.
What for?
Your chance to win.
Win what?
Sony stuff.
Who's with you?
Sony Card.
Sony Card who?
Sony Card Weekly Cash-In.
Cash-In? How much?
A $500 Sony Card credit or a $599 Sony-style gift card every week.
That's a lot of dough.
Good for a lot of entertainment.
Like movies and music? A digital camera?
Go for it.
But how?
Every week, three lucky card members could win.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
But you gotta act fast.
Where do I apply?
Online.
What's the address?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner.
Sounds easy.
It is. It's SonyCard. Earning points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with SonyCard.
Americans learn to speak a language, learn to speak Arabic. Those in the Arabic regional say, gosh, America's interested in us.
Shut up.
They care enough to learn how we speak.
Yeah, the American people may feel that way about you someday, chuckle nuts. I cannot understand, nor do I respect, nor do I want anything to do with people like that last caller, the audacity or the denial. Why is it that when reports come in that are shocking and horrible, some people just dive headfirst into that kind of denial and say, well, it must be lies, because after all, these are these goddamn Arabs. They don't tell the truth. Only Israelis and Americans tell the truth. These filthy Arabs, they don't tell the truth. When they talk about their children with their eyes burned shut, that's a lie. That's a filthy lie. That's not the truth. It couldn't be the truth. We don't do that. Nobody, you know, the Arabs do that. The liars, the dirty liars, the rotten liars, dirty liars. Hey, what about an ambulance that comes in from Syria with all kinds of bombs? And their brain snap. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with people like that? Does this freak not have the ability to go on the internet and see as many pictures as his little half-baked brain could handle, of burned and maimed and disfigured and dead and blown to pieces, blown in half, and decapitated children? What is that made up to? Sick, 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 sick. Imagine if his child was blinded by white phosphorus. Do you think he would call some talk show and say, well, that's not true. Oh, I just made that up. Daryl is calling from Miami. Daryl, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mike? And I like to say, I feel your pain.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
these are some sick people.
Man,
and
tell me about it.
I like to talk about a different thing for a change. You know, with all this attention on Israel and Lebanon, I think everybody's forgotten about the poor people in the Darfur. In a way, it's interconnected, because you know the Muslims that are carrying out all the atrocities over there are sort of like financed by Al-Qaeda. And Al-Qaeda has...
You know, with all due respect, Daryl, I don't want to get into that topic, and I'll tell you why. In the first place, it's one that I know absolutely nothing about except what I've read, like on CNN's website or New York Times website. I've done no research. I know it's an atrocity. I know it's horrible. I see the pictures, but I know nothing about it. And I'll tell you honestly, I don't think anybody, and this is sad. This is sad. This is really, really sad. But do you want to know how many people in America are focused on that who are not involved in human rights organizations or aid agencies? Do you want to know how many? Maybe six.
Yeah.
You know, that's about it. We are so up to our eyeballs in murder and mayhem in the Middle East. I'm saying this with respect, Daryl. I respect what you're saying. It's an issue that if this were a sane world, if we weren't tied up in Iraq, if we weren't tied up in Israel, if we weren't tied up in Palestine, if we weren't tied up in Lebanon, this would be an issue that would be taken care of, because the whole world said 70 years ago, never again. Remember that?
Never again.
Never again. Uh-huh. Boy, has that gone down the toilet. But I understand what you're saying. I understand the slaughter, the butchery going on, the extinction, the genocide that's occurring in Darfur. It's like, does anyone care? Does anyone care?
Well, you have a great show, Mike, and keep pounding away.
All right, Daryl. Thanks. I appreciate your call. I'll take care. What do you do? I mean, how much capacity does Daryl have, or how much do I have, or you, to take on another horrific tragedy that should be taken on? It's an impossibility. It just simply can't be done. Mike is calling from New Jersey. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, I made it on. Great.
Yes, you did.
Listen, it just seems like with what you were talking about last week, with the San Francisco Chronicle article, you know, about, you know, the Israelis briefing through PowerPoint presentations, and Saturday's New York Times article about the speed rushing of munitions. I mean, it seems like we've got a proxy war,
yeah.
You know, and you know, that's why there's not going to be any immediate ceasefire, because, you know, everybody was in on this a year ago. So when it's implemented, you know, now they've got somebody, you know, doing their, you know, Bush has somebody doing their dirty work for them now.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm just sighing and agreeing with you.
It's weird. You know, one of the things, about a week ago, I was on Stan Goff's blog, stangoff.com.
Right.
And he did that post, the P word, which was about Palestine.
I saw that and read part of it on the air, yeah.
Well, you know, one of the assertions that he made was that these Israeli soldiers were taken on the inside of the Lebanese border.
Yes.
And, you know, I posted a comment to him asking him how he knew that, because, you know, that changed, you know, everything that you hear, you know, on the news. And his reply, you know, and if I could just, it's about three sentences, real quick.
Sure.
He said, the border of southern Lebanon and Israel is a seamless web of indivisible Israeli outposts with night vision devices tied together with ground surveillance radar, plowed flat and raked daily to see footprints, and backed by quick reaction forces. He says, Israelis routinely make incursive patrols in the Lebanon. It is nearly impossible for an organized group of Hezbollah or anyone else to cross the border south, much less capture prisoners there. The very notion that this was an incursion into Israel is propped up solely by the credulity of the general public that knows nothing about military operations. In reality, the idea is as ludicrous as the Easter Bunny.
Yeah, I hear you, and I tend to agree with it. Hey, I've got to leave it there. Thanks for checking in, Mike. I appreciate it. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Air America.
On Air America Radio.
Small towns are known for their quiet lifestyle, their hospitality.
We don't get many of anybody around here.
They must be the new sheriff, Jack Carter.
And their secrets.
You will be charged with treason if you tell anyone what you see here.
But in the town of Eureka, the secrets are top secret.
Where are you taking me? Area 51?
Time is unraveling. The laws of physics are breaking down.
Love small towns.
A Sci-Fi Channel original series. Eureka. All new tomorrow at 9, 8 Central.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I've torture tested my 8-pound Orrick XL vacuum in the world's most grueling proving grounds, luxury hotels. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Folks, you owe it to yourself to try the end product of my 40-year obsession, the 8-pound Orrick XL. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. If it's perfect for hotels, it's perfect for you.
Here in America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Californians made it through Monday without experiencing any power blackouts, and a Stage 2 alert was canceled at 7 Monday night. Around 1 p.m., the firm that manages the state's power grid went to a Stage 2 alert when power reserves were expected to drop below 5% on a day when a record amount of power was expected to be used. Relief from the torrid temperatures may come Tuesday in Northern California, with some cooling, especially near the coast. On the East Coast, meanwhile, 2,000 Queens, New York residents were still in the dark for an eighth day. Israeli air raids killed at least 7 people and wounded 50 more in southern Lebanon Monday. Bombs also hit a Shiite area of Beirut. Meanwhile, Hezbollah continued to fire rockets at Israel on the 13th day of barrages between the two countries. Haifa, Shlomi, and Naharia, Israel, were struck by the attacks. At least 4 people were wounded by the blasts. Security and intelligence experts say U.S. support of Israel's military actions in the Mideast make the U.S. a target for revenge attacks. U.S. and European authorities have stepped up surveillance of terror groups, including Hezbollah. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will meet with Israeli leaders Tuesday after spending time talking to officials in Beirut Monday. Back in the USA, the Democratic Leadership Council is in Denver, Colorado, and it brought in some national figures for their 2006 national convention. The main draw Monday was Senator Hillary Clinton, who introduced her American Dream initiative.
So this is a positive agenda for change. It's an agenda that we hope will unite Democrats and help elect Democrats across the country this November.
Among her ideas are portable employee retirement accounts, tax credits for students, and an end to congressional raises. The Coast Guard deployed helicopters to get crew members safely off a cargo ship in distress south of Alaska's Aleutian Islands. The 654-foot Cougar Ace has been taking on water and listing 90 degrees. It is loaded with more than 4,000 cars from Japan, plus tons of fuel oil and diesel fuel. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. My name is Mike Malloy. This is Air America. Interestingly, here in the East, they just started the rebroadcast of Countdown, Keith Olbermann's program, and one of the first things they showed was a video from, I believe this video is from MSNBC, of bringing the boy in whose face had been burned off by Israeli white phosphorus. And if you want to, if you have the stomach for it, go to rawstory.com. Rawstory.com, and the third or fourth story headlined will give you the images from CNN International. Now, if the psychopath who called me, who apparently refused to believe that children are being burned to death and have their faces burned off by Israeli ordnance, maybe you would go to that website too and take a look, and then. Nah, why should you? You're so far in denial, your head has disappeared. To criticize as vehemently as I can the what the Israeli military is doing to the civilians in Lebanon is pretty much in keeping with the position that I've taken on this program where it concerns the U.S. military and its brutalization of the civilian population of Iraq. And the Israeli military's brutalization of the Palestinian civilians. Well, what would some of you people have me do? Some of you who send me the sick, disgusting emails about, I want all the Jews dead, or I'm an anti-Semite. What would you have me do? Is it okay? And a lot of liberals say this. It's okay to criticize the mass killing perpetrated by the United States, but it's not okay to criticize the mass killing perpetrated by the Israelis? Are you crazy? If you adopt that position, are you nuts? Are you mad? Or do you think that there is some special dispensation for the innocent people who were butchered by the Israeli military, that people butchered by the American military don't have? What nonsense is this? What nonsense is this? What insanity is this? What the Israeli military is doing right now is unspeakable. They are committing war crimes. They are perpetrating against the civilian population what was perpetrated against them by the Nazis in the 30s in Germany and Poland and Austria and Italy and all over Europe. There is no difference unless it's quantitative. Can you do you not face that? How do you do it? I'm very curious about this. How do those of you who offer unqualified, unquestioning support of whatever Israel does, and yet you'll criticize America's foreign policy when America does what Israel is doing now? How do you do that? How do you maintain that in your mind and remain sane? What do you tell yourself the qualifying factors are? That using white phosphorus in Fallujah is bad. Using white phosphorus in the suburbs of Beirut is not bad. How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, is the Israeli army, are they supermen? Are they, I don't know, do they have the right to attack and to lash out and murder hundreds upon hundreds of civilians? Because two of their soldiers were captured? I really do get frustrated, obviously, about the situation. Americans have had burned into their heads for half a century that there will be no criticism of Israel, no matter what Israel does. None. It is not allowed. And there has been a five-decade-long campaign to label anyone who criticizes Israel's foreign policy as being an anti-Semite. I know. I've been there. What causes that? What is that? Is it the dregs of some sort of never ending collective guilt for what happened in the Holocaust? It was horrible. God forbid it should ever happen again. Against who? Against anybody. So we have some sort of an unspoken agreement that American foreign policy and Israeli foreign policy, no matter who dies, no matter who's burned, no matter who is just has their life ended as horribly as possible, there's to be no discussion of that if it's perpetrated by the Israelis. When people are blown up in Tel Aviv and Haifa by fighters, terrorists, resistors, I don't care what you call them, who strap bombs to their bodies, do we not talk about that? It never stops. When there's a suicide bomb attack on a bus in Tel Aviv, that's all you see for 24 hours, no matter where you look on American television. When hundreds of children are blown into pieces in South Lebanon, we dare not talk about it. It's not to be shown on American television. What is that? That's madness, isn't it? What is that? What is that? It stinks. It's wretched. It's vile. It's foul. I don't subscribe to it. State-sponsored terrorism is state-sponsored terrorism. I don't care if Iran does it, or Israel does it, or United States does it, or China does it. What? Because Israel does it, we don't label it that way? Because United States does it, we don't label it that way? That's madness. And it's a lie. And it's hypocritical. And I won't do it. What Israel is perpetrating right now against the people of Lebanon is the same thing the United States is perpetrating against the people of Iraq. State-sponsored terrorism of the highest order. And it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. And they can't stop us. We will butcher all their children. We will burn the eyes closed of all of their children. We will murder them and kill them and smash them and stomp on them because they are dirty, filthy Arabs, right? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I get taken off a radio station in Atlanta because I criticize Israeli foreign policy. My program is taken off a radio station in Atlanta because I criticize Israeli foreign policy. Do I get pissed? Unbelievably pissed. It's just so monumentally unfair. The word unfair just seems so like a wet piece of spaghetti, doesn't it, to use the word unfair? It is so monumentally unfair what is imposed on American media in this country. Even the cowardly little efforts to criticize U.S. foreign policy or U.S. military policy in the Middle East, you don't hear it regarding Israel. Never, never occasionally leak through. And immediately whoever does it is an anti-Semite and a Jew hater and a Holocaust denier. It's astonishing. It's just awful. Why do they hate us? Because of the perception that the United States and Israel are hell-bent on wiping from the face of the earth the Arab population. Is it a valid assessment, a valid interpretation? On the part of the Israelis, probably not. On the part of the Bush crime family, probably so. But it's the perception. What is reality? What's 95% of reality? That's right, perception. We'll be back after the break. Oh.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now, and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Plus, a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
It's 21 past the hour. Robert Fisk, writing in the Independent. You can get this yourself if you want to. Go to the Independent of the UK. I'm not going to read the whole thing. They're in the schools and empty hospitals and halls and mosques and in the streets. The Shia Muslim refugees of southern Lebanon, driven from their homes by the Israelis, are arriving in Sidon, is that how you pronounce it, by the thousand, cared for by Sunni Muslims and then sent north to join the 600,000 displaced Lebanese in Beirut. More than 34,000 have passed through here in the past 4 days alone, a tide of misery and anger. It will take years to heal their wounds and billions of dollars to repair their damaged property. And who can blame them for their flight? For the second time in 8 days, the Israelis committed a war crime yesterday. They ordered the villagers of Tyre near the border to leave their homes, and then, as their convoy of cars and minibuses obediently trailed northward, the Israeli Air Force fired a missile into the rear minibus, killing 3 refugees and seriously wounding 13 other civilians. The rocket that killed them is believed to have been a Hellfire missile made by Lockheed Martin in Florida. 9 days ago, the Israeli army ordered the inhabitants of a neighboring village, Marwahin, to leave their homes and then fired rockets into one of their evacuation trucks, blasting the women and children inside to their deaths. And this is the same Israeli Air Force which was praised last week by one of Israel's greatest defenders, Harvard Law Professor Alan Dershowitz, because it, quote, takes extraordinary steps to minimize civilian casualties, end quote. Nor have the Israelis spared Sidon. A heap of rubble and pancaked walls is all that is left of the Fatima Zahra Mosque, a Hezbollah institution in the center of the city. Its minaret crumbled and its dome now sitting on the concrete, a black flag still flying from its top. When Israeli warplanes came early yesterday morning, the 75-year-old caretaker had no time to run from the building. He died of his wounds hour later. His overturned white plastic chair still lies by the gate. The mosque is likely to have been used for military purposes. A school belonging to the Hariris, Sidon's all-powerful Sunni family, stands next door. They would never have allowed weapons into that building. And then he goes on and he closes with, and what exactly is the purpose of driving more than 500,000 people from their homes? Many of these poor people sit clutching their front door keys, just as the Palestinians of Galilee did when they arrived in Lebanon 58 years ago to spend the rest of their lives as refugees. Yes, the Shia Muslims of Lebanon probably will go home, but to what? A war between the Hezbollah and a Western intervention force, or further bombardment by the Israelis? The Sidon refugees now have 36 schools in which they can shelter, but they are the lucky ones. Across southern Lebanon, the innocent continue to die. One was an 8-year-old boy who was killed in an Israeli air raid on a village close to Tyre. 8 more civilians were wounded when an Israeli missile hit a vehicle outside the Najm Hospital in Tyre. And during the morning, one of Lebanon's journalists, Layal Najib, a photographer for the magazine Al Jaraz, whose pictures were also transmitted by Agence France-Presse, was killed in her taxi by an Israeli airstrike near Qana, the same village in which 106 civilians were massacred in a UN base by Israeli artillery shells in 1996. She was 23. In her marble-walled home above Sidon, Bahia Hariri, the sister of the murdered former prime minister and a local member of parliament, sat grim-faced, scarcely controlling her fury. Quote, "We are in this terrible situation, but we haven't any window to resolve the situation. Rafiq Hariri is no longer with us. The international community is not with us. Who is with us? God and the old Lebanese and the Arab world, we hope, will help us. The only resistance we can show is to be a united Lebanon, but we have only a small margin in which to dream." And it goes on, and story after story. Are you reading some of the stuff? You can't get it in this filthy, whorish American press. You cannot. The New York Times, I guess, feels it is presenting a balanced point of view in the past few days by having a few articles about the atrocities being committed against the Lebanese. But you have to go to the foreign press to find out just exactly what is going on. It is the same thing that we have done in Fallujah. It's the same thing that we have done in Iraq. It is the same thing that we did in Central America, and now the Israelis are doing it once again, and we are not supposed to talk about it when the Israelis do it? We are not supposed to mention burned to death children who are 3 years old, 4 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old. We are not supposed to talk about American-made Hellfire missiles wiping out convoys of refugees trying to get away. We're not supposed to talk about that. Says who? Says who? Says who? Nobody has told me not to talk about it. So I will probably continue. We have another break. When we come back, your phone call. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for the Forward. That's 800-641-2626.
Welcome back. It's about 26 before the hour. excuse me. I'm going to mispronounce this, I'm sure. Yediath News in Israel, Y-E-D-I-O-T-H. It's a Israeli news agency, I believe. It is reporting, or it did report today, thousands rally against the war. Thousands march in Tel Aviv to protest Lebanon fighting. Excuse me. Call on soldiers to refuse taking part in the war. The activists are called traitors, and it's written by Attila Somfalvi. I'm sorry, trying to pronounce anglicized Hebrew names and anglicized Arab names is just beyond me. But the article says thousands of left-wing activists, including many Arab citizens, marched Saturday evening from the Rabin Square to the Cinematheque Plaza in Tel Aviv in protest of the fighting in Lebanon. The protesters held up signs with slogans against the war and called for an immediate ceasefire. According to the demonstrators, the prisoner exchange deal with Hezbollah must be struck, as well as a similar deal with Hamas. Marchers also urged Israeli Defense Force soldiers not to take part in the Lebanon operation, chanting, "Listen up, soldier, it's your duty to refuse." Other slogans recited by the participants were, "The occupation is a disaster. Leave Lebanon now." Olmert and Bush have struck a deal to carry on with the occupation, and children in Beirut and Haifa want to go on living. Former Education Minister Shulamit Aloni, who spoke in the demonstration, said that, quote, "The government has allowed the destructive powers of the army to drag us into the killing. The defense forces cannot be turned into an army of occupation and killing. We must call in international forces, negotiate, and make peace," unquote. During the event, the counter-demonstration has formed, to hell with the counter-demonstration. The point I'm trying to make here is that so many Jews in Israel, and Muslims, and Christians, for that matter, I want to make it clear that so many Israelis, Jewish Israelis, are, if that's not redundant, protesting this awful war, just like so many Americans protested what we did and are doing in Iraq, and so many British citizens protested. I have an email here from Amir M. Mike, there are good and just Jewish people that are just as frustrated as the rest of us regarding the government policies of both Israel and the United States. And this one from Susan. Mike, I'm in tears, so ashamed of the white phosphorus. I was ashamed and freaked at Fallujah, and I am mortified and aghast at Israel's use of it now. I even alerted the head of the foreign copy desk, whom I know, days before the New York Times acknowledged it. I occasionally reach out and have a tantrum, exhausted afterwards at my inevitable ineffectualness. Many American Jews are horrified at what Israel's doing and want to separate ourselves, to disavow all of that, of complicity and support. Not being forced into the sea is one thing. This is something else and unacceptable. My Israeli cousins are also horrified. And I know I haven't made that clear enough that I do get emails in here from from Americans who are Jewish, or Canadians who are Jewish, or Australians who are Jewish, who listen to this program via the internet, and they want to make it clear that not to convince me, because I've made it very clear in these rants and insane tirades that I go into, that I am criticizing the foreign policies of a country, and it doesn't make any difference to me if the country is Islamist, Jewish, Christian. I don't care. And the people who listen to this program and understand what the intent of this program is, never suggest that I have some sort of particular bias. The only religious bias I have are against fundamentalists of all stripes. While I am not a believer in any of this, I certainly do tolerate in my own little tiny universe. I don't mean that to sound arrogant. I tolerate my tiny little universe whatever belief system somebody wants. It matters not to me. Well, if you want to pray to a living room chair, go ahead. You know, whatever gets you through the night, as John Lennon said. But fundamentalists to me, whether they're Christian, Muslim or Jewish or Hindu, the fundamentalists who have just brought so much blood and death and destruction in the name of their perverted sense of who God is. That to me is disgusting, and I hate it. I loathe it with everything in me. But as far as Christians who are making an effort, Jews who are making an effort, Muslims who are making an effort, Hindus who are making an effort, atheists who are making an effort to try to point out what is going on and beg, negotiate anything to get this to stop, have nothing but the deepest respect from me and I think from most rational people. Who wants this? Who wants this? Who wants this slaughter? Who wants this? Sick people, that's who wants it. Who become the instruments of this sick policy? People who join these various militaries, whether they're Islamists or Christians, or Christists, or whatever the hell they want to be called now, or Jewish, or whatever it is, who join these military operations and say, yeah, okay, you know, my survival's at stake here, so I'm going to unleash hellfire onto children. I'm going to blow up children in buses. I'm going to strap bombs to my body and pull the trigger in a shopping mall. I'm you know, Jesus, God in heaven, what is wrong? What is wrong with this? It's just, I guess the point there is that I'm not attacking anyone who doesn't deserve a verbal attack. Whether it's by you or by me, it really doesn't matter. These atrocities. I was probably 16, 15 before I even knew about the Holocaust. I think I was 40 before I knew what really happened to the Palestinians when the State of Israel was founded. And out of that ignorance, you know, I tried everything I could to read about the Holocaust, to read about what happened to the Palestinians, in order to gain genuine empathy for both of those situations, for the people who suffered in both of those situations, for no reason other than to gain the empathy, not to make a point, but to understand. That's all, just to understand. And I've said it so many times in this program. Elie Wiesel's writings had a profound effect on me. The writings of the Palestinians, collections of writings of Palestinian poets and people who suffered in their universe, nothing different from what the Jews of Warsaw suffered. Tried to understand it. I've tried to understand it. I've tried to come up with something. I get criticism sometimes from Arab listeners who say, you don't understand. You can't equate a suicide bomber on a bus in Tel Aviv with an IDF force sending a missile into a village in the occupied territories. And in that person's world, he's probably right. But that's not my intent. It's the wailing and rending of garments that I go through when I hear of this, when I read about it, when I realize that innocent people who've done nothing, and because so many people in the Middle East are young, whether they Israelis or Palestinians or Lebanese or Syrian or whatever, Iranian, Iraqi, what's left of Iraq, because so many of them are so young, then it stands to reason that these vicious, violent attacks against civilian populations are going to result in scores, hundreds, thousands of children being blown to pieces, having their eyes burned shut with white phosphorus. My God, where does that come? That comes from hell. That comes from people who have visited hell, who have gone to hell and have come back and said, I know, let's burn shut the eyes of children. That is from hell. Who develops weapons like this? Who thinks, who says that burning children and dead civilians are collateral damage? Who says these things? What kind of cursed person says this? What kind of demon walking, what kind of just non-human thing walking this earth says that the burned eyes of children is collateral damage, or is somehow acceptable, or is something that we turn away from and pretend we're not aware of it? Who does that? Who does that? Who does? Does a Christian do that? Does a Jew do that? Does a Muslim do that? Who does that? Who does that? You know, I think about that, and I have no answers. I only have questions. We'll be back after the break.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello?
Opportunity calling.
I thought you knocked.
That's a cliche.
What do you have?
An opportunity to win.
What's it called?
Sony Card Wish It Win It.
So first I wish?
And then you have a chance to win.
Win what?
$10,000 worth of Sony Entertainment.
That's huge.
That's Sony Card Wish It Win It.
What do I do now?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience to create your personal wish list.
I wish for Sony electronics, CDs, DVDs, and games.
Go now.
Can't wait.
There's a Sony Card winner each month.
So there's a chance?
That you'll be the one.
To wish and then win?
That's why it's called Wish It, Win It from Sony Card. The card that earns points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.
It's about 10 before the hour. Let me just program note here. For those of you who are very familiar with the program, notice a change in music the past 45 minutes. Molly had a nerve out here, a typical two-year-old thing. She woke up and shrieking and yelling and screaming and wouldn't go back to sleep. So Kathy has had to be mom here in the studio, which means the guys in New York have had to provide the bumper music just by way of explanation because it's not the music we normally play. And I just wanted to let you know that that's what it was about. Thanks tonight to the people who engineered the program in New York, Justin Yuen and Tim MacArthur. Also, David Weissman, who handled your call tonight. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Also, Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, Ben Birch, and Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. And the whole thing is executively produced by Catherine Bay. Back to your phone calls. And I know we've missed a lot of calls tonight. I hope you will call back in tomorrow. If we didn't get you, let's go to Barry, who's calling in from Portland, Oregon. Barry, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Yes. Hello?
Yes.
Mike Malloy?
Yes.
Oh, hello, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I like your show real well. I just wanted to say real quickly, I believe both sides are very, very right in their own mind, in their own way of thinking, which is why there should be negotiations, deep negotiations.
I guess what you're suggesting is that negotiations that would help or force people to confront what they're really about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. To get at the hatred.
Do you think that's possible?
Well, yes, it is. I
mean, as a method of finding a solution to this.
Well, it would have to be because the only alternative is just to live with guns and armaments the rest of their lives.
Well, it's a great idea. It's a humanistic idea. It's an idea that makes sense. And for those three reasons, probably will never come to fruition. I completely agree with you.
Well, why do you say probably would never come to fruition because of that?
Because it requires people who have nationalistic or religious dedications to set those dedications aside and look at the bigger picture. Not everybody's a Christian, not everybody's Islam, not everybody's a Jew, not everybody's an American or a Palestinian or an Israeli or a Lebanese or a Chinese. You understand what I'm saying? There is a bigger picture. There is a bigger picture, but trying to get people to plug into that bigger picture. We're fighting. We're having these wars in the Middle East, and the planet is going to heat up and fry, and we're all going to be dead 100 years from now. Uh-huh. Just supposing the air becomes unbreathable. What will all of this meant? All this little fighting and these little wars and the massive death and destruction that comes out of this little fighting and these little wars, what will it mean when the last person is sucking in the last phosphorus loaded breath of air into his or her lungs and then dies? What we should be focused on.
Yes, what you're saying is our life quality right here and now at this moment is what's important, and it certainly is. This is what Buddhism is all about: the here and now, the present.
I understand.
So if people could be forced, even forced to face those horrible feelings and that to bring them out, but guns it only treats the symptoms, and people get killed in the meantime and massacred. And
I understand, Barry.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you. Also, if President Carter Marshall Rosenberg or Noam Chomsky, if those people could get together and reason, help these people to reason, wouldn't it seem
yes.
possible that something could come?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for checking in, Barry. No argument from me, pal. Diane is calling from Denver. Diane, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Oh, thanks. I'm an American, too. I'm very religious, and I'm so happy to hear you say what you've been saying for the last hour and a half. I've just been dealing with this situation for decades, and this is what I, just as a religious person, this is as close as I can come to figuring out what this mass psychosis among Jews is. And anyone that defends the conspiracy of silence or trying to silence others. During the Holocaust, and especially after the Holocaust, the Jews that I heard weren't so much angry about the death and destruction during the Holocaust as they were about people who didn't speak out.
Yes.
Fingers were pointed and people said, why didn't you speak up?
That's
and
right.
Now, you know, we are, the Jews are the ones that are saying, it doesn't matter what's happening, but don't you dare speak out. And I just see this as just a punishment from God saying, oh, you pointed fingers? Well, let's see how you feel when you're doing it. And that's all I can figure, because there's no reason for it at all.
You know, I wish I understood 0.1% of all this. I do know that true Christians, true Jews, true Muslims, in my limited little experience, are for the most part people of good nature. They're people who don't want to see anyone else suffer. They may have their belief system that says, well, okay, we all have a connection to God, but mine's a little bit better than yours. Okay, grant that. But so many truly religious people I've met have been basically decent human beings. And I just wonder why that basic decency can't arise out of this and stop it. And I also have to include basic decency of humanists or atheists. I mean, just because somebody doesn't have a religious structure to base everything in doesn't mean they can't have a moral sense. Hey, Diane, I have to leave it there. I'm so sorry. Thanks for checking in, okay?
According to the Gush Shalom website...
Yeah, quickly, we're out of time.
There were 5,000 people at the rally on Friday.
5,000.
In Israel, that's what it said.
Well, that's good to know. That's a start. Thanks a lot, Diane. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, okay? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.